place to meet for you health pastors. Go to your Sunday school lesson, you get the clarity of the thought, and you'd be able to give us exactly what you want us to do this morning. I pray you bless him for his hard work he's put into it. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Amen. Now he makes me feel guilty. He said, hard work I put into it. This morning, again, your memory verse says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And so what we're going to look at this morning is we're going to look at distinct prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not going to look at them all. Okay? There's over 300 Old Testament prophecies relating to his first coming, let alone all the ones for his second coming. And so many times people don't even realize when they're looking at prophecy. In Exodus 3, I think it's verse 12, 14 or there, when God's talking to Moses, he says, I am that I am, tell him that I am, have sent you. Okay? Well, that's who he is. Well, you see, there's a fulfillment of who I am is in the New Testament. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, before Abraham was, they're in on my desk. Notes. Okay. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Pointing to, that's why I tell people all the time, the first three Gospels are synoptic Gospels. They compare and contrast with each other. John is a separate version, okay, or a separate protocol with that. I tell everybody. Matthew shows Jesus as the coming king. Mark shows him as the suffering servant. Luke shows him as the Son of Man in his humanity. And John shows him in his deity as the second member of the Godhead. All right, so when you have that, how many times, just think about how many times you see Jesus use a very specific reference. At one point, they ask a certain question, and Jesus says, I am he, fulfilling a prophecy. He uses the term, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have all those things, earmarks, people don't even think about them, pointing and showing that Jesus is a fulfillment of God coming and being with man. Okay, and so many times people just downplay that. Well, we have this prophecy in Isaiah, and it says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And again, when our church started, we chose that name. There was 16 of us, hon? 14 of us. And we wanted God with us, because we didn't know what we were doing. Okay? Pastor Christian hadn't come on board with us yet, and so we wanted it Emmanuel. We wanted God with us. Okay, and so you need to understand that that's the important part of that. Jesus shows that he is God with us, and you can't get away from that part of it. Okay, and what you have is the prophecies of the Bible proves its authenticity. Only God could author such a book. All the different men used to give you the scriptures, and you have the unity of the scriptures, the way they come through, the way they tie together. I have a section, and we think about contrast and contradictions. Now, I'll get to the main part of the lesson, but I just wanted to show you something, if I can find the right page. This is Herman Lockyer's All the Messianic Prophecies of the Bible. Now, you know why I'm not going to give you every one? Page after page after page. But I want you to see, let me see here. Is it this one? Yeah. Let us consider one of the two of these apparent contradictions or impossible contrasts, as they have been called. How could God come to earth, be born of a child, yet remain God? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, right? Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, received up into glory. I think I'm quoting that right. I don't know if I'm missing a part. Okay. But you see this, what? You have Jesus, he's the Father in eternity. Now, I'm not telling you that the Father is not a distinct spirit, but he is co-equal with the Father in eternity, and it says the Lord our God is one God, yet he's the Son in time. He's chosen of God and elect, yet despised by men. He's born King of the Jews, yet rejected by them. He's born of a woman, a virgin, yet had no father. He came from Bethlehem, Egypt, and Nazareth. How do you come from three places, okay? Where really was the place of his earthly origin? Prophecy says, out of Bethlehem he shall come forth. And then, I have called my son out of Egypt, and he shall be called a Nazarene. See, he's fulfilling all parts of those. Further, he was David's son, yet David's Lord. He was the chief cornerstone, yet the rock of offense. He was a priest, yet a king upon his throne, pleasing to God, yet abhorred by his own nation. Priceless, yet sold for 30 pieces of silver. Not only rejected by men, but on the cross, he was what? Forsaken by God. He was wounded and pierced, yet not a bone was broken. Every one of those is tied to a prophecy about him. I just want you to think about it as you read your Bible. When it speaks about something with Jesus Christ and you see the fulfillment, do you know the miracle that is? We have a God of miracles. He's in the miracle business. And so many times people, they want to downplay that. Sometimes in our lives, you know what you need God to do? Give you a little miracle. And sometimes you won't even recognize it because you don't necessarily trust him enough to look for it and to see it. You still with me in that? Okay. Prophecy encourages us to take God at his word. That's a hard thing today, isn't it? Taking people at their word. My great-grandfather's time in the country, you know what you did? You didn't have paperwork that you had to sign in multiple copies and have notarized and certified. They stuck out their hand, they shook their hand, and that was as good and stronger than any verbal or oral contract. We are supposed to believe what God says. Amen? Fulfilled prophecy helps you learn to trust. Isn't it a case, you know, when someone, you can't learn to trust what they say? So then you're hesitant with it? We get offended. We get offended more times by what people say than what actually people do. And by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Okay, so you have to take God at his word. That's mind-blowing. How many of you actually trust everything someone else says to you? You know, we end up doing it. I make mistakes all the time. Just if anybody's been in this church any length of time, I've offended somebody, I've done this thing. But you know what it comes down to? How many times has a person said something and you took it differently than what they said, or they said something and they meant it differently than the way it what? Came out. And so then you start what? When things are going good in a relationship, you just smile and you trust every word. When things aren't, you start doing what? Questioning and parsing the words. Well, what did he mean by that? Or what did she mean? Or what is that? And you go back and forth. You know what? God always means what he says. You don't have to worry about it. You may not like what he says. And most of the time when it comes to us in approaching him and understanding that God's standard is different than ours, he means what he says. And so that's something we can believe in our hearts, that you can trust God, and that's the reason so many, it's just one of the benefits of fulfilled prophecy. All right? Now, I thought this morning I would make it a little different class. I'll read a prophecy, and then if you're willing to read for me, I'm not going to point people out. That way I'm not embarrassing them. But if you're willing to read, you put your hand up, and I'll choose somebody. I'll give you the text I want you to read. because I want you to see the fulfillment. So this morning, again, Isaiah warns the people of God about judgment, then he gives them hope about a coming Messiah who will be their Savior and their King. Israel is still blinded to Jesus Christ. As I mentioned Wednesday night, for those of you here, Ben Shapiro, very conservative man. He became very rich by multimedia, okay? Very conservative. We would agree with him on so many things. Not everything, because I don't agree with myself on everything. Do you always agree with yourself? But he's Jewish. He was interviewed by Joe Rogan, who was getting very close to coming to Christ. Okay, they're on podcasts. And he turns around and he asked them, and so what do your people believe, that Jesus is a prophet? And he goes, oh, no. He's just a man who tried to bring about a political revolt and got crucified or got killed for his rebellion. That is, believe it or not, he just gave you the standard Jewish understanding of Jesus Christ. Because to acknowledge him something is more is then to acknowledge that their religious practice for 2,000 years since his crucifixion and resurrection, see, they don't believe he was resurrected. They get in part onto what? Onto all the conspiracy theories that, you know, his body was stolen and this or that to prove certain things. And the New Testament is closed to them. And so much of the Old Testament is closed because they don't see all the prophecy being fulfilled before them. They're still waiting for their Messiah. You know what's going to happen to them? A certain man is going to come on the scene, and he's going to cause peace to happen for Israel. And they're going to think, oh, he's the one. Except he's got a problem that they haven't realized yet. His identifying number is 666. You get my point? And when you don't bring God's word, spiritual with spiritual, scripture with scripture together, you can be misled in your doctrine. So much of Christianity denies the deity of Christ. I'm talking about people who claim to be Protestants, practicing Christians. They also try to mix evolution. You can't be a true born-again, Bible-believing child of God and stay in the belief of evolution. You haven't done the research to see how evolution is disproved. Okay? You can't find God through the scientific method. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we live in a generation, you wonder why it's getting worse and worse, they don't know God. It's worse now than any time in human history as far as people knowing God. And so with that, you need to realize we need to look at certain things, okay? Isaiah, I think, is his book. In my notes, it says approximately 700 years. I've got the date down given by, it's 760 B.C. It comes out of Usher's notes and stuff with that. So that's how long Isaiah was before the birth of Christ, okay? Isaiah's prophecies, many of them are some of the most detailed in the Old Testament. What's the chances of just one or two of these coming to fruition? You ever think about that? Our memory verse. The Lord, what? Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Okay, you know what they do in some of the newer Bibles? They don't use the word virgin when you get to the New Testament. They call her a young woman. Okay, so we're going to start with the prophecies. I don't need to spout any more on this. I want you to think about this as you look at things in your Bible. We're going to examine just a few of the prophecies on Jesus. Okay? I just quoted the memory verse. Who would like to read for me? I saw Michael's hands first. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23.
and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, is God with us.
Okay. The last verse of that text gives us the next part. And his name shall be will be what? Emmanuel. And was it showing the fulfillment there in Matthew, verse 23? Emmanuel. Said, that's why we wanted that name for this church. And you know something? God's honored that for us. He's honored that. We wanted God with us, okay? Okay, he shall be called, let me see. I've got to read it. Isaiah 9, look at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the what? The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Okay, now, Alan, you had your hand up second, so I want you to read John chapter 1, verse 1, and John chapter 1, verse 14. 1:1 and 1:14. Now, you read it nice and loud. Yes. John 1:14.
I got it. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Okay. You see what I said? And the Word was God. That one passage caused so much problems for Jehovah's Witnesses, they wrote a new Bible. They did. The New World Translation, that is the text for them, when they came out as a sect, they used the King James Bible. And you know what it did? It destroyed some of what they were trying to teach, because you got to mess you up. He's got a bolt for every nut. All right? Because their New World Translation says, and the Word was a God. They added to the Greek there. It's not found in any extant manuscript, so that they could support that he is not God. Okay? So he would be called God. They also say, well, it says the mighty God there in Isaiah 9:6. So he's not almighty God. That's right. In Revelation, he's called the Almighty. See, because that's why I'm saying to you, and I want you to understand, when you read your Bible, it's one thing to read. It's another thing to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. Don't take something and build a doctrine with a verse until you've compared it with the other verses. All right? Because the Bible will define itself. The Bible will give you proper doctrine, scripture with scripture with scripture with scripture. The Old Testament prophets told us that God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Whether you apply it or not, the knowledge is given. Okay, so you can see there, not only he's mighty God, he's almighty. You want to know where that is? Ask Michael Shelton. You'll find it in Revelation. All right? Just start reading in chapter 1, and you'll find it if you keep reading. And you don't have to get to chapter 4 or 5, all right? I thought I'd make Michael feel good with that this morning. Okay, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Of the increases of government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Okay, the Lord of hosts is one of Jesus' titles you can find in the Old Testament. There's a comparison there. You see it in Isaiah at a different time. Okay, so Isaiah 9:7, he will be the heir to the throne, and it says, and upon the throne of David, he shall be heir to the throne of David. Okay, who else wants to read? Kevin, read Matthew 1:1. He's heir to the throne. He's heir to the throne. Okay. Isaiah. See, because our prophecy, the verse we're looking at, we're just going to be looking in the book of Isaiah, the ones we're looking at this morning. That shows you how many are just even in one book. And this is not even all of them in one book. It's just some of them. Isaiah, let me see here. 50. All right. He's going to be spit on and scourged. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 says, and I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from the shame and spitting. Who else wants to read? Okay, Becca, I want you to read Matthew 26, 67. And is there someone else who'll read on this one? Nancy, I want you to read John 19:1. Okay, Becca, you read first. Matthew 26 and verse 67. 67. 67.
6, 7. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palm of their hands.
Okay. Nancy, John 19 and verse 1. They scourged him. He was beat with a multiple lash whip that had pieces of broken bones tied into it. And that's why the true picture of the crucifixion is one where he's almost flayed alive. He's laid open. That's what scourging was, the Roman scourging. Okay? 760 years before the birth of Christ, this book was written. You ever try to figure out the odds of those prophecies? If you take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we're starting to get into exponentials. Do you understand that? Okay. I can see Karen, she's shaking her head with me. That's the math person. She's going to, you understand? You get in, the odds of that are like 1 to 10 to the poof. Okay, when you get through 300 of them, I think I could have it wrong. Don't hold me to this, because in my brain sometimes, yes, I am a kook. Okay, that's a keeper of odd knowledge. Okay, think about it. All right, I'm a keeper of odd knowledge. I think it's 1 times 10 to the 56th power. You know what that would be? If you started stacking dollar bills from here to the moon and back, you'd still have dollar bills left over. I'm telling you, that's how the odds against him even performing this. It shows you this is a miraculous book. Okay, Isaiah 53. And who hath believed our report, in whom the arm of the Lord is revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And I had a Jewish person I worked with at Hammer Mill crying by the time I read through this passage and started asking, now who's this? Now who's this? Now who's this? That's part of what's called the Tanakh Road or the Isaiah Road in the Old Testament that you can use to witness to Jewish people. Will they always accept it? No, but they have a hard time denying who it's pointing to. Look at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Okay, he was despised and rejected. Someone like to read for me? Okay, Kevin? I want you to read Luke 19:47. Someone else? I'm trying to give anybody. Well, you guys are afraid. I'm not going to be. I'm trying to get and give somebody else. You ready? You read for me? Okay. I want you to read John 8:58-59. Okay. That'll be Angie. So go ahead, Kevin. It's despised and rejected. Luke 19:47. Now, John chapter 8, verses 58 and 59, Angie.
Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, not giving his to them, and so passed by.
The minute he said, before Abraham was, I am, they were going to kill him. I think you can call that rejection. Amen? Then we're going to kill him. Okay, Isaiah, let me see here, 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Someone else like to read? Okay, Lena, I want you to read. You got to read right nice and loud for us, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 24. First Peter 2 in verse 24. He bore what? Okay, wounded for our transgressions, okay? He was wounded for us, okay? Isaiah 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Someone else like to read? Okay, Daniel, read? All right. I want you to read Matthew 27, verses 12 through 14. Okay. Matthew 27, verses 12 through 14. Opened not his mouth. Isn't that a very hard thing to do when you feel you're being mistreated? You're being persecuted? What if you're being injured? You don't defend yourself. That's a very distinct prophecy. He fulfilled that. Now, I've got to remember, if you try to say, oh, well, And somebody tried to say, well, of course, they had the Old Testament. They knew what they had to write to fulfill those prophecies. Okay? Who is Matthew? What? Yeah. Who was Mark? He's a fisherman, isn't he? Luke was a physician. Well, he's educated. Okay, that's what we like to think, right? Physicians are educated. And John. Who was John? Another fisherman. You know what the Jews marveled at when they went to preach and to speak? These were ignorant and unlearned men. So they had enough understanding, okay, so that they could translate that and know where everything was. They had such a command of the scriptures. They were Old Testament Hebrew scholars like Gamaliel that they could do that. Did you ever think about that? The miracle of God. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's not just a miracle that it was fulfilled. It's a miracle that some ignorant people who had been with Jesus could then give it to us. Have you ever talked to a commercial fisherman? I have. The language is not quite the same. I'm going down to one of the Bad Attitude Baptist blowouts down at PBI. They had a speaker there who has, I'm trying to think his name started with an M, but he has a ministry along the south coast to the commercial fishing boats that come in. And I can still remember Dr. Ruckman at that point saying, you know, it takes a strong man to deal with strong people. Okay, because they were rough. They were ignorant, unlearned men. And so what do? You put what we'd say, you blossom out the vocabulary, because there was so much dirt coming out, you could grow flowers in it. He opened not his mouth. Okay, Isaiah 53 and verse 8. And he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He will be taken from prison and judgment. Isaiah 53, 8. Who wants to read? Brianna, I want you to read Matthew 27 and verse 2. Nice and loud, just like you're going to be on the street corners in Croatia handing out tracts, sweetie. Just Matthew 27, verse 2, nice and loud. Okay. He was taken from prison, then brought to judgment. You see it? In the judgment, again, what did Pontius Pilate say? I find. Okay, Isaiah 53, 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Isaiah 53, 9. Now, Dave, did you have your hand up? I want you to read Mark 15, 27, nice and loud. Mark 15, 27. Okay, he should die among the wicked. You see it? So he dies among the wicked. I already read it. And it says there, he shall have his burial with the, he'll be a rich one. Who else wants to read? Okay. Lauren, I want you to read, like, nice and loud, read Matthew 27, 57 through 60. Matthew 27, chapter 27, verse 57 through 60. That was not the burial of a carpenter. Almost his own private mausoleum. Money had to be paid greatly to what? This wasn't a cave. This was a tomb that was chiseled out of solid rock. Isn't it interesting? Okay, and then the closing stone was a great rock. Now, a lot of people showed as a wheel. It could have been something, but you want to be able to close the whole opening, so it's much larger than the opening. A huge stone, okay, and it was rolled in front of that. That was the burial of a person with money. Okay, you want to know people with money? I can take you even over to the cemetery outside of, is that Springbrook, outside of Fairhaven, and you can look at the differences in the headstones. And you can see some of them, they go back into the 1800s, I believe. I don't think it goes farther than that. I haven't bothered. I haven't tried to look at every tombstone, and many of them, they're older than that. You can't read them anyways. And some of them are these little, they stick about that high. They're about that wide. And it has birth and death. Name, birth, and death. Right? Then you go to some other ones, and they have loving mother, loving father, beloved child. Then you see some that say, served his country well. And they get bigger the more that's being said on them. I'll just tell you, when my mom, she's buried in Springbrook, she goes, honey, she was saved. She said, honey, child, from North Carolina. Says, honey, child, that's just going to be dirt in that grave, and I ain't there. So don't spend a lot of money on it. But if you want to come over, why don't you make it a bench? So you can sit there and make yourself feel better like you're talking to me. I'll hear you, but I'll be above you. I won't be below you. And so, Judy, what is her stone? It's a marble or a granite bench with her information on that. It sits there in front of her grave. And many times my sisters and someone come, they put flowers on the grave and they go over. My daughter's gone over. I've gone over. Just sit there. Because it's a remembrance. Right? Jesus was buried in a tomb of a rich person. He died with wicked people who deserved to be put to death. With the wicked and the rich in his death. There is a pastor's, what? It's John. Oh, wow. He pastored a big church out in Washington State. I heard him preach. I got a book in my office library about God's second man, what it means to be serve under somebody, what it means to be a second man. John Pascoe. His wife fought a battle with cancer for over 10 years. She was a soul winner. When she was going to be buried, she told him, "I want a big enough gravestone so that the Romans road can be put on that. So every time somebody comes to my gravesite, maybe they'll get a chance to see me in heaven later." And they have. "There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." John 8:1. And then John chapter 10. I don't know if it's all 9 through 13, but I think it's at least 12 and 13. Basically say, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." They were never truly rich by American standards. He had a big church. He's well off. But his money went into ministry and missions, okay, of the church. But he was well taken care of. You know what it was? They were looking for greater riches. You know, this is nothing, it's important to you, but you know what? For them, you know what they were still trying to earn, or she was trying to earn after death? Precious gems. Precious stones. What is our hope? What is our joy? What is our crown of rejoicing? A crown? The soul winner's crown? Are not even ye at his coming? Okay? He had a rich burial. Isaiah 53 and verse 9 again. "He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth." He had done no wrong. Who wants to read? I need two people. Gabe, I want you to read Luke 23:41. Someone else? Oh. Anyone else? Okay, well, you've done it. I'll come back to Alan again because he'd been waiting. 1 Peter 2:22. So Gabe, Luke 23:41.
"As we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss."
Okay. 1 Peter 2:22, Alan.
"Did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth."
Didn't sin. It says no guile found in his mouth. He didn't manipulate things with his words. You can bet eternity on what Jesus says. Amen? Now, last one I'm going to give you. Isaiah 53:10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." See now, who's going to cause him to be crucified? The Lord. His crucifixion was determined by God. That wasn't the Roman government, it wasn't the Jewish people. Okay? That's why it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his" what? He gave him. The same as Abraham, who is an Old Testament type of the father, offered up Isaac. Except a ram, okay, a male sheep was offered, was given by God back there for Abraham. Okay. Who wants to read? One last verse. Larry. Acts 2:23.
delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain.
Him being delivered by the determinate and foreknowledge of God. That means it was determined of God that that was going to take place, and it was needed before the first man was ever born on the face of this planet, Adam. It was determined by God. The payment was going to be made. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why? Verse before that. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Okay? Go to 1 John chapter 4. First John 4, verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. It's made complete. It's mature, okay? Perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he what? First loved us. Every other religion on the face of the planet uses fear to control its practitioners. Everyone. You know, Buddha. All the gods of the Indian people, the 3,300,000 plus idols that they worship, it's all works. Every so-called Christian religion that's not a Bible-believing, born-again group of people, it's works. You know what you'll never be confident of? The love of someone has for you if you have to always work to get it. Because you're always going to be thinking, am I doing enough? Did I mess up? Why wasn't I good enough? You know what God wants you to know? He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You are accepted. You are secure and you are significant in God because of Jesus Christ. That's the love of the Bible, and that's part of what you see when you even see. This is, people, we went to, just in the book of Isaiah, 2, 3, 4 chapters. And that's what we did this morning. We looked at 4 chapters of Scripture looking at prophecies that he fulfilled. Now think about 300 of them just for the first coming. You have a book that gives you what God says, and he means it every time. Amen? And all God's people said? Thank you for participating with me trying to help. Also, it gets you moving in your Bible a little bit. The people who had to read, they got so nervous, they weren't ready to fall asleep on me.